Could we open the meeting tonight with hymn number 13, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God is he, full atonement can it be. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Look to the Lord for his help. Christ is the Savior of sinners.
Christ is the Savior for me. Father, I was saved in sin's darkness. Now by his grace I am free.
Savior of sinners.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's my privilege as I look around this room, I hear many in this room that I know love the Lord Jesus, and they're singing from their hearts, Christ is a Savior for me. How about you, my friend, this evening? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the Bible tells us if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And it tells us the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of God should shine unto them. So we know that man is lost apart from God if he has not trusted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And in this room, there's only two classes of people. Those that came as a guilty sinner and received the Lord Jesus as their own Lord and Savior, and those that are yet lost in their sins on the way to a lost eternity. God looks down from heaven. I don't know your hearts, but God does. And the Bible tells us all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. How is it with you, my friend? I'll start reading a verse. Let's turn to John 3:16. I'd like to make sure the gospel goes forth at the beginning of the meeting. There may be much failure in what I say, but we're going to listen to what the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In John's gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16, most in here are familiar with it, but it's good to have the simplicity of the gospel before us. First, we'll read verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, from the beginning, Satan sought to put God in a bad light. And back in the Garden of Eden, we know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the creator of this world. And God created man, and God could look on his creation, and he could say that it was good. But you know, man believed Satan rather than God. So we know that Adam and Eve were there in that garden of paradise, and they chose to believe the lie of the devil. And you know, Satan is still deceiving men and women today. This world lies under the power of the wicked one. And everywhere we go as we walk the streets, there's that which would turn away our hearts from the Lord. But we're thankful that God has one object for his people. There's one object, a perfect object, and it's God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, having yet one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. God, when man had shown himself lost and ruined and undone, God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, sent forth his beloved son into this world. The Lord Jesus, the maker of the universe, God's beloved son, tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then it goes on to say he was in the world. The Lord Jesus took a body. He became a man. The Lord of glory came into this world, became a man, so that he could win his creature, to show what the heart of God really was. And as he grew up, born of a virgin, and he grew up a sinless man, a holy, spotless one. The Apostle John could say, in him is no sin. John, who laid on the bosom of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul, one who was much, knew a lot, much connected with knowledge, he could say of the Lord Jesus, he knew no sin. And Peter, a man of action, he could say he did no sin. The Lord Jesus is a perfect Savior. He came into this world, came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save sinners, not good people, because there were none. There's none that doeth good. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's word is truth. Men like to think that they're pretty good. You know, recently we traveled and we went to go through security, and I felt pretty confident that I didn't have anything to worry about in my backpack that I was carrying on. I'd carried it on many times before, and as I went through the line, a lady stopped it there as it went through the conveyor belt, and she called me over and she went to open it up. She said, "Is there anything sharp in there?" And I thought for a minute, and I thought, "No, just a plastic fork and a plastic knife." And she opened it up, and it only took a second. She reached into this pocket, and first thing she pulled out was a good-sized kitchen knife. And here I had felt pretty confident. I felt it wasn't all, I didn't have anything to worry about, and that's the way many men and women and boys and girls are today. We think that because maybe we grew up in a Christian home, everything is okay. We maybe didn't rob any banks. We didn't shoot anybody. We think we're pretty good. We're not as bad as the next person. And turned out that we had needed that knife when when we're traveling, we had been in Hawaii and we had cut up pineapple, and we had that knife in the backpack and I forgot to take it out. And so there it was. Now here I thought I had nothing to worry about, but there was this knife. And the Bible tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. There's consequences for sin. And man is separated. His sins have separated him from God. And he's guilty, and God knows the sins. He knows every heart. I don't know all the things about you, but the good news is that though God knows all about you, he still loves you. And he's made a way of escape so that you don't have to be judged for your sins. God is holy. He cannot have sin in his presence, but he loves the sinner. And that is why he sent his son into this world. And so the Lord Jesus came into this world to make known the heart of God. He went about doing good, it says in Acts, healing all that were oppressed to the devil. A man approved of God among you, Peter could say. The Lord Jesus, that one who held the little children, took them up in his arms, said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not." That kind, blessed Savior, that one who gave sight to the blind, who could reach out to move with compassion, he could reach out his hand and touch the leper and say, "I will, be thou clean," and heal the leper. The Lord of glory, here he became a man that he might reach you and reach me. I enjoyed what our brother said in the address. He said that if God, if you were the only sinner in this whole world, the Lord Jesus would have come to save you. Think about it as something personal. I remember a lady tell me, "Oh yeah, Jesus died. Yeah, he died for everybody. He died for all of us." But it wasn't a personal thing. There was no heart for the blessed Son of God. Do you value the Lord Jesus? The Bible tells us, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." Does it mean anything to you that a man came into this world? Does it mean anything to you that your Creator came into this world? Well, the Lord Jesus, his life was characterized. The only man that always did the things that pleased the Father. The only man that lived totally for God's glory and honor. And we know that what happened to the Son of God. Their hearts were filled with anger. They thought they were good enough. They didn't need a Savior. They had their religion. They wanted their own way. You know, the men and women haven't changed today. Boys and girls, our hearts haven't changed. We still like to have our own way. Do our own thing. We don't like the restraint of God upon us. But you know, doing our own thing is bondage. And the Bible tells us, "Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." So as if we leave God out of our lives, if we go on our own way and leave the Lord out, we're sinning against God. And it's really a path of bondage. And sometimes when we're young, we think, "Oh, we have lots of freedom. We can do what we like." But you know, sin has a way of tightening the cords tighter and tighter. I remember when I was a boy, a man did a Sunday school illustration. He had a boy stand up in front of the class, in front of the Sunday school, and he wrapped a string around his hands, and he said, "Now see if you can break it." And the boy struggled a little bit, and it snapped. He wrapped it several more, and he struggled harder, and he was still able to break it. Then he wrapped it a few more times, and that boy, he tried with all his might. He was a strong, healthy young boy, but he couldn't break those strings. And that's the way sin is. You cannot break the power of sin. You need a Savior. And we're thankful to be able to proclaim the Lord Jesus as the only Savior. The hymn says Christ is the only Savior, mighty to save. And so we'd seek by God's grace to proclaim tonight the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior there is. He could say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He alone is a Savior. You cannot save yourself. A man said, "Well, I want to..." Why do we always talk about the cross? A man said, "I think we should just follow Jesus' good example." And the brother said to him, he said, "Okay, the verse says that he left a footsteps that we might follow in his steps." And then the first thing says, "Who did no sin." Can you say that about yourself? There's no one in this room that has perfectly followed the Lord Jesus. There's no one in this room that has done no sin. The Bible tells us there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There is none good, no, not one. So man in his sins is lost. How is it with you? Are you lost or are you saved? The Lord Jesus is able to look into your heart. Does he see a heart stained with sin? You know. But I want to say, if your heart is staying with sin, you don't have to stay that way, because the Lord Jesus loves you and he has made provision whereby you might be saved. So we know that man took the Lord Jesus, those hands that had always been stretched out in blessing to his creature. Men took those hands and they nailed them to a cross of wood. The Lord Jesus, those feet that had walked, had run the way of his Father's commandments, had walked the paths of this earth, up and down the hills, walked to Sychar's well to meet a sinner there, had walked to meet the woman. It was like 7 mile distance when he went to meet the woman of the widow of Nain, who had just lost her son, that he might raise that son from the dead. His heart, his love, every step was to show the heart of the Father as he went in love and blessing to his creature. And men nailed those feet to the cross. The Lord Jesus, he gave his back to the smiters. Psalm 129, verse 3. "The plowers plowed upon my back. They laid long their furrows." Lord Jesus could say in Isaiah, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair." Those blessed cheeks for the Son of God. Cheeks speak of tenderness. When you love someone very much, you kiss them on the cheek. The very tender heart of the Lord Jesus here in tenderness and grace for you. What did man, his creature, do? They plucked the hairs off the cheeks of the Son of God. And they spit in his face. The Lord Jesus Christ, stricken, smitten, and afflicted, bore, he went to Calvary's cross. That's what he suffered from his creature. He gave everything to his creature. And man showed his heart. The Lord Jesus showed the heart of the Father perfectly. But we showed what was in our hearts. It was rebellion. It was sin. It was hatred. It was wickedness. And maybe those things haven't come out in your life. Maybe you've lived a good, respectable life. I remember Gordon Hale using the example. He said, "I could have 2 eggs here. They're both rotten." He said, "If I drop one on the floor, everyone goes, 'Ooh, ooh, that sure stinks.' We all agree it smells terrible. The other one looks ever so nice, but inside it's just as bad." And that's the way it is. Bible says all have sinned. There's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the Lord knows what's in your heart, and yet He loves you. And He's made full provision for you. And He showed His love as He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed to the devil. The Lord Jesus showed His love when His creature, you know, the last thing before they bound the Lord Jesus to take Him to the cross, His last act was to reach out His hand and touch that man who had lost his ear. One of the very ones that had come against Him, and Peter cut off the man's ear. The Lord Jesus stretched out His hand and touched that man and healed his ear. The last act we read of before that hand was bound and the Lord Jesus was led away to the cross. It shows His heart of love to His creature. He gave everything. But you know, all that love for us, all the good acts that He did, would not put away our sins. There, as the Lord Jesus hung upon that cross, while His creature stood in the crown of thorns upon His blessed head, and His creature, they mocked and jeered Him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, come down from the cross, and we'll believe." The hymn says, "Himself He could not save. Love stream too deeply flowed. In love Himself He gave to pay the debt we owed. He bore the penalty of guilt when on the cross His blood was spilt." So there, it wasn't His sufferings at the hand of man that showed His heart of love. But there, as He hung there on that cross, in those 3 hours of darkness, it tells us that from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness over the whole land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Why was He forsaken? That you and I might never be forsaken. There in those 3 hours of darkness, the Lord Jesus, as the Lamb of God, bore that judgment that we deserved. Christ also suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. He was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. He died for me. He died for you. Have you trusted Him? No, it won't do you any good, the fact that He died, if you don't put your personal trust in Him and trust Him as your Savior. It tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 1, "As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And so, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. That work that the Lord Jesus did on Calvary's cross, there as He hung up between heaven and earth, His hands outstretched in love to His creature. There He bore the judgment of a holy God against sin, that you might never have to bear that judgment if you'll receive Him as your Savior. The gospel is simple. In the room there, brother prayed that the gospel would go forth in simplicity. The Bible tells us, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The Lord Jesus said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And He could say, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Perhaps there's someone here that thinks they're too bad to be saved. There's none too bad. The chiefest of sinners has already been saved. And the gospel goes forth. We read that verse. "Whosoever," man that could barely read once, he asked another man to read him a gospel tract, and the man read him the verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When he heard that word, "whosoever," this man was a very simple man. He asked the schoolboy that read the tract to him, he said, "What does that word whosoever mean?" And the boy said, thought a moment, he said, "I think it means you, me, or whoever." And that's what the gospel goes forth. Whosoever will. let him take the water of life freely. It's not only for certain special privileged people, but the gospel goes forth to the vilest of sinners. Though your sins be as scarlet, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There, the Lord Jesus on that cross bore the punishment that we deserved as God punished his beloved Son. And then a soldier took a spear and pierced the blessed side of the Lord Jesus, man's last act of hatred toward the Son of God. Man's last act of hatred toward that one who had always done that which was for his good and blessing. And what happened? We would expect judgment to fall. But no, forthwith, one of the soldiers pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bear a record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. You believe tonight. The Lord Jesus gave everything. He shed that precious blood for you. And God's word tells us the blood, Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Have you been cleansed in the precious blood of Christ? There's no sin that's too great. Hymn writer could say, on the Lamb our souls are resting. What is love no tongue can tell. All our sins, so great, so many, in his blood are washed away. Are your sins washed in that precious blood? The work that the Lord Jesus did is sufficient for me, sufficient for you. And you know, before I failed to mention it, but before that soldier pierced the side of the Lord Jesus, after God had punished him for our sins, the Lord Jesus could say, "It is finished." And I want to say that we're able to proclaim a finished work that's sufficient. God is satisfied with it. The Lord Jesus had completely glorified God as to the question of sin. There on that cross, all the attributes of God met. Grace, truth, love, holiness. Fully met the need of the sinner. And God's holy claims of righteousness were met as well. Have you trusted in that blessed one? There is no other way of salvation. I remember a brother Dave Whittaker telling a story of a man that asked the question, "Isn't there any other way?" And you know, that's the way it is with man. He's always wants to try his own way. The Bible tells us there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so it's our privilege to be able to turn to this blessed book, the Word of God, and see God's way, hear his word. And God's way is certain. It's a way of safety. There is a path that no fowl knoweth. Oh, it's not there for the natural eye, but for the eye of faith. God has a path, and the answer is in the Lord Jesus, his beloved Son. That's where God's delight is. And when you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he will be your delight as well. The Word of God tells us, "He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." The Lord Jesus is the one, the only one that can satisfy the cravings of man. We live in a world where they seek every day to come up with new ways to satisfy the needs of their heart, and yet they fail to turn to the only true way of blessing, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that blessed one as your Savior? If not, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You know, if we hear the gospel of God's grace and we don't respond to it, oh, there's a danger of our hearts being hardened. Does it mean nothing to you? The questions asked in Isaiah, is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, the Lord of glory suffered for you. He suffered for me. Does it mean anything to you? I hope and pray that each one here would come to know the Lord Jesus as our own Lord and Savior if you don't know Him yet. And it's one thing you'll never regret. Brother Harry Hale used to say, you'll never meet a man that walked with God and then he got to the end of his life and said he was sorry he did it. Nor will you meet a man that when we get to glory, there's not going to be one soul there that says they're sorry they trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But oh, how many will someday regret that they didn't press in on the offer of salvation. They didn't value it. You know, Brother Woolston, Dr. Woolston, when he was a young man, before he knew the Lord, he went through some time where he did spend some time searching, and he became exercised about the need of his soul. And one night he and his friend decided to go to a gospel meeting, and they took off in the fog to find this meeting, and it was so foggy and they couldn't find the meeting. And you know, I want to say that if you don't know the Lord Jesus, there's always 100 excuses that can keep you from Him. And it was so foggy that night, they thought, maybe we should, his friend said, I think we should just give up and go home. And he said, you know, I don't want to go home until I'm saved. And so they pressed on through that fog and they came to the gospel meeting. And he heard the story of the Lord Jesus, how the Lord Jesus loved him and died for him and rose again the third day. And he believed the message and he was saved. But you know, just before he believed, another person that knew him, an acquaintance, saw him there and saw him very convicted of his sin. And he said, put it off till after the Christmas party. He said, you promised you're going to sing at the Christmas party. And just put it off till after that. You wouldn't be able to sing there if you get saved. And he said, no man can serve two masters. That's what this man that was not saved told him. And Brother Woolston, he said, you're right. No man can serve two masters. And he received the Lord Jesus as a Savior. And you know, sometimes we think there's difficulties. Oh, if we come to the Lord, we could never, see people say, I could never walk the walk, people will say, or they have some other excuse. There's always, Satan is always right there with lots of excuses. But you know, Brother Woolston, he didn't know how he was going to solve this dilemma about this promise he'd made to speak at the Christmas party. And so the Lord, if you come to the Lord, He has the answer to every difficulty and every obstacle. And so the Lord enabled him to call up the person that was in charge of the party. And he said, you know, if I come there, I'm going to have to sing about my Savior. Well, needless to say, they let him off the hook for singing at the Christmas party. He would typically sing and entertain these people and tell stories, and they would have a time that the world often does. They try to fill the void that's in their hearts, but they can't fill it. But the Lord, whatever that difficulty is that may be in your life, is keeping you from the Lord Jesus. It's not worth it. You know, a number of years ago, there was a man in Utah. He was a rock climber, and he was climbing up these rocks all by himself. He didn't tell anybody where he went. And as he climbed, he stepped on a rock, and this rock rolled on top of him and crushed him under the rock. And he was pinned there for days. And as he lay there, he didn't know what to do. And so after some time, he realized his arm was pinned under that rock, and he realized that the arm was infected. The gangrene had set in. And he realized that that arm was going to kill him. If he stayed there, he had nothing to lose. He was going to die if he stayed there. No one knew where he was. And so he took and cut off his own arm, and he was able to get out, and his life was spared. But when I heard that story, I thought, you know, if we really realized, if you really realize the seriousness of going into a lost eternity without the Lord Jesus, whatever it is, the Lord Jesus could say, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's not worth it. Whatever, would you rather have one arm and have life? Would you rather have one eye and have life? And then what the Lord Jesus means when he says, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, he means whatever it is that's keeping you from him, it is not worth it. Time is gliding swiftly by, death and judgment both draw nigh. To the arms of Jesus fly, be in time. Come from darkness into light, from the way that seemeth right. Come and start for heaven tonight, be in time. Oh, my friend, don't trifle with the eternity. Don't trifle, don't ignore God's word. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Flee from the wrath to come. Oh, there's judgment. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. We were in Hawaii recently, and as we walked along the beaches, several places, well, at least one occasion on the beach, and another, several other occasions as we went on these beautiful roads, beautiful palm trees, windy road looking out over the ocean, amazing to see God's creation. But you know, we noticed several, on multiple occasions, we saw crosses. All the beauty of creation, all the remarkable scenery, but it's a scene of death. Yes, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. How will it be with your soul? If I gained the world but lost the Savior, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find peace and comfort in the things that soon must pass away? If I gained the world but lost the Savior, who endured the cross and died for me, could then all the world afford a refuge wherein my anguish I might flee? Oh, what emptiness without the Savior, mid the sins and sorrows here below, and eternity. Oh, how dark without him, only night and tears and woe. Oh, the joy of having all in Jesus. What a balm the broken heart to heal. Ne'er a sin so great, but he can cleanse it. Not a sorrow that he does not feel. So it's our privilege to present this evening the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who shed his precious blood for you, that one who gave everything for you, the one who loves you, the one who died on Calvary's cross. He could say, I am come. He could say, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly, or abundantly. He alone can give abundant life. He alone satisfies. Oh, will you come to him and put your trust in him, and you'll never be sorry. He alone is the one that can fill this heart of yours and mine. Will you come? Time is short. David could say, how short. There is but a step between me and death. Are you ready? The Lord Jesus is a risen, glorified Savior. And if you'll trust him, he will never fail you. He faileth not. Oh, you may look and you see other Christians. You see failure there. You see even the most gifted and talented men around us. And you see failure. But there is no failure in him. He faileth not. He's an altogether lovely Savior. And he alone can meet the needs of your heart. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the needs of my heart. Oh, have you come to know Him? The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Will you trust Him this evening? Time is short. The Lord Jesus is coming. The Bible tells us the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. It's Christ or hell tonight. Which is it for you? God has given His best. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? We have our Savior. We have a God that's a giver God. He's given His very best. Will you have Him? Oh, I pray that you will. Let's sing hymn number 26. There is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto Him and be saved, unto Him who was nailed to the tree. Look, look, look and live. Verse 4, then doubt not thy welcome, since God has declared there remaineth no more to be done, that once in the end of the world He appeared and completed the work He'd begun. Let's sing the last verse only. Take with rejoicing from Jesus at once. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's just close in prayer.